we're always happy to kind of talk shop or lend some advice if people are interested in it, because there's a lot of food waste out there. We want to see it all get composted.
Hello, and welcome back to The Food Fix, the show where I talk to lots of different folks about innovative ways to better feed the world. I'm your host, Anna Leonis, and I'm so glad you're joining me today. Food Fixers, I'm a broke college student, living in a house with other broke college students. And if you are or ever have been in that place in your life, you know that it's a little bit more difficult to make sustainable life decisions when the easy way out is just too easy. This is a great excuse for many things like recycling, mindful food purchasing, gardening, and most of all, composting. Now, it doesn't mean I don't partake in these things, it's just for a long time I didn't know how. But there are a lot of great solutions to these moral struggles, and you're listening to the show, which means you have the initiative to take them on, so good for you. In today's episode, I had a conversation with Tim Bennett, owner of Bennett Compost, a not-so-little composting business that serves over 6,000 households and 100 businesses in the Philadelphia area.
My name is Tim Bennett. I am the founder of Bennett Compost. We are a company in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, who collects food scraps for composting from households and businesses throughout the city.
So you've been around since 2009, correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
That's quite a while. What initially got you interested in composting?
You know, I was at the time, 13 years ago, I was in my kind of late 20s, and I was living in a second floor apartment, and I was familiar with recycling, but I was, you know, learning more about other kind of waste and other ways to manage waste and composting. And I was thinking, this is something I should be doing. Like, I want to compost. But because I lived in a second floor apartment in the middle of the city, I had no outdoor space. I didn't have a good way to do it. And so I kind of was looking around to see, well, what other options are there? Could I take it somewhere? Is there someone who would pick it up? And there wasn't any good option that kind of existed. And so I thought, maybe there's an opportunity here. Maybe there are other people who are kind of like me and want to compost, but don't have a good way to do it. And so I took $100 and put it in a bank account and said, I'm going to try to just see what happens. Probably this won't go anywhere, but I've spent $100 on, you know, less worthwhile and sillier things in my life. And so I did that. And, you know, almost 14 years later, it'll be 14 years in July, we're still doing it. And, you know, at this point there are 22 people who work here, and we're picking up from, you know, 6,000 households throughout Philadelphia, plus 100 businesses. And last year we kept over 3 million pounds of food out of landfills. So, you know, it's been quite the ride and quite the adventure.
Did you have any kind of entrepreneurial background?
Yeah. So I went to Temple University here in Philadelphia, and I had actually was a business student, but with a focus kind of on entrepreneurship, because I had this idea that I wanted to at some point try to start a business. And I also wanted to try to start a business that had kind of more than just making money, but also had a mission kind of behind it and to do something good for the world. And I didn't know it was going to be composting. When I graduated, I actually worked for Temple, but for kind of a center at Temple that actually worked with people who were trying to start businesses or who had businesses. So even though I was doing kind of pretty routine office work, I was still getting to be exposed to all these different people and who are trying to do all these different things. And I think that kind of showed me a lot of what people who were kind of successful in starting their own business and people who were not successful in starting their own business, kind of what they had in kind of what traits they had, what commonalities they had, like what kind of things they did. And so I was already kind of looking for something else to do. And this was why this was kind of appealing, like, oh, I'll try this out while I'm figuring out like what my next step is. And maybe it'll turn into something, but probably not. And I was certainly wrong about that, which I'm grateful for.
So what do you get when you purchase a bucket? I know that different community members can do it, but you also mentioned businesses.
Yeah. So for the home program that we do, we give people a bucket and they pay a monthly, you know, subscription fee, kind of like now everyone's familiar with this because like Netflix or, you know, any of these other subscriptions. At the time when we started, I was thinking of it more less like a subscription fee, like a Netflix, and more like kind of a utility, like how you pay for your water or your electricity. So people pay $18 a month, and we come to their home or apartment on a weekly basis and collect any material that they have for composting in their containers.
The households that participate in this program are then eligible to get 2 5-gallon bags of compost for free in either the fall or the springtime. They also receive discounts on other Bennett compost products like potting mix, rice hulls, and this show's favorite, vermicompost.
For the businesses, and mostly there, we're still coming and we're collecting the food waste that they have, and a lot of it is, they have obviously higher volumes than what a residential person would have. And so we might be picking up, most of them we're picking up at least twice a week. Some of them we're picking up 3 times a week. Some of them, the smaller ones, we might be picking up once a week. But for them, they're not getting much, they're not getting anything back. They're mostly interested in just diverting their material so it's being disposed of more sustainably. And also that because they are commercial entities in Philadelphia have to pay fees for their trash to be hauled away anyway. So they may be able to save some money on their trash fees because we're taking the smelliest, heaviest parts of their trash away in a separate way, because that's what the food is oftentimes.
So do you instruct people on what they can and can't compost? Can they compost packaging that says that it's industrially compostable?
So we can take any kind of food waste, and then we can also take some of the compostable products, right? So we can take what I call the soft plastic compost, like certified compostable plastics, like the bags, and we can take other compostable like forks, knives, plates, containers that are kind of bamboo or wood or paper based. We don't take the hard plastic compostable products in our system, and mostly that's because we don't grind the material up before we put it into our piles. And we've found that material just doesn't break down in the time periods that we need to work in our systems. So some of it, yes, but the hard plastic certified compostable stuff, we don't take.
And do people get like a little infographic when they first get a bucket subscription?
Yeah, we have like a little like list on our website and some links to that when they sign up that they are able to check. And then we get questions all the time because obviously, and no list can be all inclusive, right? So we're like, well, what about this and what about that? And so we make sure we kind of just answer their questions and help to educate them, because that's an important part of the process.
People have the option to get 2 bags. Individual households can get 2 bags. Do you also sell the compost?
Yep. So we also sell compost both in bags and in bulk. And we also use that compost to make some potting mixes and some seed starting mixes that are used by some farmers to start the stuff for their in-ground growing, and people who are doing container gardening in their backyards or on their patios.
A great example of closing the food loop. Ship off your waste and get it returned to you in a few months to grow more delicious food. We love to see it.
Do you know of other companies doing stuff like this, maybe in other large cities?
Yeah, I mean, there are some cities where there is provided by the municipality, right? So some cities have city programs where the city is facilitating the service in the same way they're doing like a regular trash or recycling. You know, at this point, I'd say in many of the larger cities and a good number of kind of the smaller cities and suburban areas near them, there are companies that are kind of doing what we're doing. I think we're a little bit on the kind of older and more established and larger size, but there are a number of them throughout the country. And we're always happy to kind of talk shop or lend some advice if people are interested in it, because there's a lot of food waste out there. We want to see it all get composted.
Tim is so right. There are a lot of different companies doing this all over the place. California actually passed a law in 2022 requiring their cities to provide composting bins to all households, and the waste is disposed of by each jurisdiction. San Francisco has famously been doing this since 1996, when they were the first to create a citywide food composting program. Other places like Portland have a curbside pickup program that not only gets food waste, but also yard debris picked up weekly. In my research for this episode, I found out that there is a subscription program in my area picking up weekly for $28 a month, or bi-weekly for $14 a month. Now this brings me back to my original broke college kid conundrum, but that doesn't mean you can't start your own compost bin for cheap, as long as you find an area of your house that you don't mind having a little stink.
Would you say that it's been especially embraced by your community?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, Philadelphia is a large city, so, you know, and we've got a lot of people, you know, we've got 6,000 households who are doing it, so that's pretty cool, and it's the largest program curbside composting program, private or municipal, in the state of Pennsylvania. So that's kind of a cool thing. And one of the bigger ones on the East Coast. But so that, you know, at that point, like, yeah, I think we certainly owe, the community here in Philadelphia has embraced it. At the same time, you know, there are 550,000 households in Philadelphia. So, you know what I mean? Like, we're still not even at 2% of the total households that are participating in that. And there are plenty of reasons for that, but that's, you know, that's, I think that just shows you that, like, we're doing great work, but there's so much more work that needs to happen here, and so much more work that needs to happen all over the place. And there might be companies that are doing, you know, on paper, smaller numbers, but might be having a similar impact because they're in kind of a smaller community in general than we are here in Philadelphia. But yeah, I do think we've been lucky that Philadelphia has been very open to the things we're doing, and people have embraced it.
So do you have any goals for the next 3 years?
We do have goals to continue to grow it, but not kind of outside of the where we are. We've been doing some more work. Our focus has really been kind of staying in Philadelphia in terms of where we're doing collections. We've started doing some more work with the city here. So we're doing some work with collecting food waste from recreation centers here and playgrounds that the city runs. We do some work with the Philadelphia, the prison here in Philadelphia, to help them compost their food waste. We're doing kind of other projects like that, working more with kind of some larger commercial people and some large universities here to help them kind of figure out some composting challenges that they have. So I think, you know, we are certainly excited to, we certainly have some plans to expand what we're doing here, but not kind of plans to expand outside of the area at this point. But we'd love to help. What we'd love to do is see people in other areas like start things themselves. And we'd love to provide advice and help in any way that we can so that they can do that as well.
Is there any new innovations in composting that we should be looking out for? Or is hot composting still the way to go for now?
I think that for composting, you know, for the way we're doing, the aerated stack piles are kind of the best method that's out there. You know, if you're a home person, hot composting can be tough, and they're, you know, vermicomposting and composting with worms is a good alternative if you're low on space, and backyard composting, there are things that work. There are some people out there who are kind of marketing these home composting systems that they will make compost in 24 hours or 48 hours or something like that. But mostly what they're doing is kind of just, they're not actually composting. They're just kind of dehydrating and basically using heat to kind of break everything down. You know, then you could spread in your garden, but it's not really composting. It may be a good way for some people to dispose of their food waste, but it's not kind of like composting in the way that we think about composting. So.
And does it take the nutrients out?
There's going to be less nutrients in there. Now, whatever you're mixing with it, you may help some of that to come back, but you're not going to get as many of those beneficial microbes and bacteria because the heat is too high that you're killing all of that kind of good stuff that benefits the soil. So some of those that I've seen that are starting are focused more on using them as some kind of like part of animal feed. So for feeding like chickens or things like that, but it's not really composting in that sense. They're often marketed that way because people are familiar with the idea of composting. And so even though they're technically not that way, they're kind of marketed that way towards people.
That is a wrap on this food waste breakdown. I hope you learned a lot and feel empowered to make a little change of your own. It could even be as simple as researching composting programs in your area. Big thank you to Tim. I think it's so cool that you woke up one day wanting to get your apple cores out of the trash and turned it into a dirt empire. Thank you to the Freezer Bees for consistently rocking on. And thank you, Night Center. This podcast is my soapbox for food system issues, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I hope you have a wonderful day. I've been your host, Anna Leonis.